welcome to this week's Launch Pod, Launch Pad's very own podcast with Mr. Matt Revell.
Hello.
Mr. Elliot Murphy.
To me.
And the very one and only Joey Stanford.
Thank you. Matt, I understand that we have some guests for this week's show.
We do, yeah. There's something going on in Prague this week called the Ubuntu Developer Summit, something that the Ubuntu community, with the support of Canonical, do twice a year to prepare what's going to go into the next version of Ubuntu. And we've got a few of the guys from the Launchpad team are over in Prague for the summit. And I spoke to Graham Binns, who works on the Launchpad Bug Tracker team, and also John O'Lang, who works on the Launchpad code hosting team.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I'm eager to hear it.
And Elliot, you're also going to be talking a little bit about the best way to run a project, and I think something about a way to publish branches without necessarily associating them with a project.
Yeah, not necessarily running the whole project, but some tips and tricks on how to organize your project so that it's easier to collaborate with other people.
Cool. Okay, let's get on with that UDS interview. Graham Binns, you're from the Bugs team in the Launchpad team, and you're at UDS in Prague. Tell us very briefly, what is UDS?
UDS is the Ubuntu Developer Summit. It happens twice a year, once for each release. This is the UDS for the next Ubuntu release, Intrepid Ibex, which will come out in October. And it's when all the Ubuntu developers get together and discuss basically what the plans are for the next release, and see what they can squeeze in to make the next version of Ubuntu even cooler.
Okay, so why are you there from the Launchpad team?
Well, there are three teams here from the Launchpad team. I'm part of the Bugs team, and we're here because we want to talk to the QA guys, the Ubuntu QA team, about how we can make their life easier. Obviously, they are our biggest customer, except for the community. And they want to be able to do QA on the new release of Ubuntu. They want that to be fast and efficient. And they also want to make it fast and efficient for the users to use. They don't want the users to have to think about how to file a bug in Launchpad. They just want them to be able to do it without having to worry about it, with the minimum of fuss. And that's why we're here. So that's one of our main focuses while we're here this week.
So will the work that you're doing there filter through to everyone who uses Launchpad, not just the Ubuntu community?
It will do, yes. A lot of the stuff that we're doing is very Ubuntu specific. Well, what we're talking about at the moment, anyway, is very Ubuntu specific. But we're also continuing to work on some features that are going to have fairly big effects for a lot of Launchpad users. So some of my colleagues are working on the producing APIs for the bug tracker, so that anything that you can do now in the web interface, you'll be able to do programmatically through a JSON RPC API, which has pleased a lot of people who hitherto have resorted to screen scraping and other such nasty things to get information out of Launchpad.
Okay, how important would you say the one-on-one feedback or the one-on-many feedback that you're getting is in, for want of a better phrase, meat space? Compared to doing it all via mailing list and over IRC,
it's massively important. We've sat down once before with the QA team. The only other time that we were in the same vicinity as each other, which was at the last UDS, and then we didn't really know exactly how to go about discussing things. This time we've sat down and we've talked to the QA team and we've said to them, right, so what are you planning to use? How are you planning to use Launchpad? How do you want to use Launchpad? What are the features that you would like to see? And one of the things that we talked about just this morning was we just asked them to give a list of their top feature requests and their top most annoying bugs. And in fact, they didn't finish the list of top most annoying bugs.
Really?
There's quite a few, and it's very surprising. I mean, I can look at a bug and think, yes, that's going to annoy the users. And then something completely different that's very small and very strange and very little and niggling can really annoy somebody else, particularly the QA team. I think one that came up this morning was there's a problem invalidating bugs on a specific package because of the way that package has been set up. which is something that we'd never even thought about being a huge worry. We've noticed that it's there, but now the QA team have come to us and said, no, this really needs fixing. Obviously, our priorities shift then. So the difference between doing that and doing it on a mailing list is when you can look somebody in the eye, you can see how desperate they are to see a particular feature or get a particular bug fixed.
Okay, cool. You mentioned that there's a couple of other teams from Launchpad there. I know that the code-hosting team are there because shortly after I speak to you, I'll be speaking to John Lang from the code-hosting team. But who's the other team?
The other team that's there is the Soyuz team.
Right.
And they attend pretty much every UDS because without them, Ubuntu would not get built. Soyuz is the system that builds all the Ubuntu packages. And they're here not only to make sure that everybody's getting what they need out of Soyuz and to discuss new features with the people who are going to use it and to hack on some of those new features, but they're also there to make sure that they can learn from the problems had with the previous release. And again, it's one of those situations where sitting down with the distro team and the kernel team makes it much easier to find out where you're going wrong and what needs fixing. And I think actually the Soyuz team don't get the recognition that they deserve sometimes. The work they do is very, very complex and very hard, and I have often said that Soyuz just doesn't fit in my brain. So I don't know how those guys manage it, but they're here basically because they are the rails upon which the whole process runs.
Now, you've spoken a lot about people coming to you with bug reports or annoyances, things that niggle them. What positive feedback have you had about Launchpad?
Well, we've had quite a bit of positive feedback, particularly about some of the recent changes we've made with regard to guiding people on how to file bugs. So fairly recently, we added functionality so that in your project, you can set guidelines for how people should file bugs. So rather than just going to the bug filing forum and putting in the basic information and hitting submit, you very specifically ask for, this happens with all Ubuntu bugs, very specifically you ask for the current version of Ubuntu, what program and what package it is that you're having the problem with, and if possible any stack traces or anything else that might have come along with whatever bug that you're having. And we've had some good feedback about that. We're going to be doing some interesting work later this week on working with external bug trackers, with other upstream bug trackers, and exchanging information with them so that what we have now in terms of bug watches, where you can monitor the status of a remote bug, will be even more in-depth. We'll be able to push and pull comments to and from the remote bug tracker, and everything will become a lot easier to manage through Launchpad. But that's still to come, so we're going to be keep working hard and we'll keep enjoying ourselves, and I'm sure it's going to be a very productive week.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Graham. I hope to speak to you soon.
Cool. Thanks, Matt.
Hi, John O'Lang. You're at the UDS in Prague, just like Graham is, for the Launchpad and Bazaar integration team. Tell us what you're doing there.
Well, what I'm doing at Prague is I'm working with the Ubuntu distro team and with some people from the Bazaar team on getting Launchpad ready for hosting Bazaar branches for every single package in Ubuntu.
Cool. Why do the Ubuntu community want to do that?
Well, if you're writing code or managing packages, it's really handy to have Bazaar to manage your changes, to collaborate with other people, to merge in changes, to merge in things from upstream.
And is this the Loom plugin that we've heard about for Bazaar?
The Loom plugin is a thing that's certainly very useful for packages. What I'm working on isn't so closely tied in with that, but at least not at this early initial stage. But one thing we really want to do in the not-too-distant future in Launchpad is make it much more Loom-aware and friendly.
How will managing source packages in Bazaar affect the day-to-day life of an Ubuntu packager?
Good question. I think one of the first ways it'll affect people is that there'll be a very simple and easy way just to get the official source of a package, but at this time in a Bazaar branch. Further, not perhaps in the initial in the initial release, but certainly very soon afterwards, you're pushing your package changes up to Launchpad. We're expecting that they'll trigger a build of the package through Sawyers. Another way that this will help is this will allow for, again, working with the Sawyers team to make all of this happen, is that you should be able to have multiple personal branches of your package and put those up through your PPA. And another final thing is that currently some people are hosting packages, bizarre packages in bizarre branches on Launchpad, but it's kind of in a little bit of a messy way that's often you see they're just in the upstream project space. With a name like Ubuntu or Ubuntu Dash version number or whatever. This will actually provide a bit of a cleaner place to put those packages, those branches, because we'll have a new namespace for them under the distro and the package to make that happen.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what Loom is? I mentioned it briefly, but without really saying what it is.
Say you were managing a package in a Loom. You would be able to take a branch of that package, and that branch would represent the Ubuntu package of this upstream project. Instead of having your patches in your Debian directory, what you could do is each individual patch could be represented by a thread of the Loom. These threads are layered on top of each other. So the bottom thread represents the upstream, and then the next thread will represent your first patch, and then the second patch, and so on. You can switch between these threads and make changes to it. So it kind of frees you up from like being tied to the timeline of when you do the commits, and you can sort of say, well, what the commit is for. So one thing about threads is that they're version controlled, which means that you can better collaborate with other people with Looms.
What else have you been doing at UDS? Obviously, apart from sampling the nightlife of Prague, have you been working with anyone perhaps from outside the Ubuntu community or even within the Ubuntu community, but people who aren't necessarily talking to you as an Ubuntu user?
Right. Can I put in a word for Czech beer? It's fantastic. Anyway, one of the people I've been talking to is Rob Collins. He's on the Bazaar team, and we've been working together on a feature called Stacked Branches. Stacked Branches are going to be something that's going to allow people to push branches up to Launchpad a lot faster than they can do now. At the moment, when you push a branch up to Launchpad, you push up the entire history of the branch. So with a big project with a long history, this can take hours. And the problem is that whenever you make a new branch, which might have a small change, you have to push up the whole history all over again, which is just, no one wants to do that. Stack branches are going to let Launchpad take those the new branches, the branches which might have a small fix in them, and then let you only upload those changes, and then Launchpad can take a branch and then stack that new branch on top of the other branch on the server side. The trunk of a project will be a full branch, and all of the other branches will be stacked on top of that. It's got some similarities to shared repositories in the problems it solves, but it's in a different way, which allows us to do things and to meet other Launchpad goals, such as letting anyone submit a branch to a project without having to worry about data integrity or so forth.
Jono, thanks very much for joining me on Launchpod.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Cheers.
So, Elliot, we heard at the beginning of the podcast that you had some advice for our users on best ways to set up projects.
Yeah, so this is something I've noticed after working with a lot of different projects on Launchpad. It's maybe not so obvious at first. When you host code on Launchpad, it's organized by three things. First, by the owner. That's the person or team that has rights to write to that branch of code. Then by the project, and then by the branch name. So, for example, a branch would be /emurphy/themeowproject/ bug 5. Well, one thing that means is if you ever decide that you want to transfer ownership of the project to somebody else, the URLs change when you change the owner of the branch. So what I recommend people do is actually set up a new team. It's really easy to do. And so say you had a Meow project. There actually is a project on Launchpad called Meow. It went up earlier today.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. It's a Twitter clone for Google App Engine.
Oh, cool.
Rather than, say, making eMurphy the owner, you'd create a new group called Meow Developers. You'd make them the owner. And that gives you stable URLs. Even if the membership of the team changes over time, the URLs to all those branches that team owns don't change. So that's my suggestion. The other thing that I want to tell people about is plus junk. So I explained that branches are organized according to the project that they're, but there's a special project, and we don't really advertise this very well at the moment, called plus junk. So a lot of times you have bits of code that you want to save in a bazaar branch and maybe even let somebody else get access to, but they're not quite full-blown enough to have their own project. You can use the special plus junk project, and it's just a bucket that you can put branches in, so everybody's got one of these. So my nickname on Launchpad is static, so I can say I save some of the .dot files that are in my home directory for configuring bash and all that. I can push those to a branch that goes to /static/plusjunk/.files. Other people can pull from it, and it's a nice way to keep lightweight little branches that you want to save, but aren't really deserving of a full-blown project with bugs and all that stuff.
Are there any other restrictions on a plusjunk branch compared to a branch that's associated with a full-blown project? As I understand it, you can't propose a plus junk branch for merger with another branch, but that's the only thing I know about that's different.
Right. You can't propose a plus junk branch for merger. In fact, you know, if our listeners are interested in some of this, Matt, you've in the past written up some nice documentation on plus junk. It's on help.launchpad.net, and the page title is called Non-Project Branches.
In camel case.
Search for that in camel case, yeah. I have to say, Elliot, I use plus junk a lot. It's great, especially if you're playing around with a branch that's not necessarily associated with a project yet, or perhaps never will be, and you can just upload something there and have other people have a look at it. And then when you're ready to, you know, if you do want to take your plus junk branch and you want to associate it with the project, you can very easily do so.
Okay, yeah. So if I had something in plus junk that I later wanted to merge to a project, I would rename the branch to be associated with the project, and then I could propose it for merging.
Cool. Thanks a lot for that, Elliot. One thing I wanted to ask you guys that came out of the chat I had with Jono Lang earlier was he was talking about stacked repositories. So if I uploaded a new branch of Firefox and there was already a Firefox trunk branch on Launchpad, then I wouldn't have to push up the entire branch, but I'll just push up the differences. How much of a day-to-day difference do you think that'll make to people using Launchpad to host their code?
For projects that have very, very short histories, it won't make much difference at all. But I've been working with more and more projects that have very large histories, and for those projects, it will make all the difference in the world. Basically, you'll only have to transfer the data that's new in your branch up to Launchpad when you push. So it'll be very lightweight, just like you could email a patch. That's about the amount of data that you'd be transferring up to Launchpad. All of the common revisions, the historical part of the branch, would already exist, and Bazaar would be able to automatically figure out what was already there and only push the new stuff. So it'll be a huge performance improvement for some of the larger projects that are starting to use Launchpad.
Yeah, definitely. In addition, I think because of that very same reason, it's going to make efficient storage of branches possible now, especially for really, really large branches, as you were mentioning, Elliot.
Yeah, I've got some branches up there that are hundreds of megabytes, and they really, each one only has a few, maybe not even a megabyte of new data, so that'll be a big change.
Are those mostly branches with photos of cats in?
Some cats. I've been branching out a little bit and doing pictures of waffles also, more still life, but... Yeah, don't look at my plus junk directory.
I'm scared too. Joey, do you have a number of the week for us?
Yeah, I thought today we continue on the people aspects, and I brought up, I made a comment in the last podcast about how I thought for a team as relatively small as ours, we do such a really interesting bit of work. So I got me thinking about how many people we actually have developing in Launchpad. I did some numbers today, and the official count currently is 32 plus our very own Mark Shuttleworth, who occasionally contributes as well. So he would be 33. And out of those 32 people that contribute, four of them are actually are in roles that are non-development roles. So we have one person doing quality assurance work full-time, another person who is our communications manager, if you will. I hear he's got this new podcast going as well.
Yeah,
we have one person doing user interface, accessibility, things of that nature. And then we have myself, which I do a little bit of project management as well as team management. So really 28 people who are actively developing the various different services that Launchpad provides, which includes Soyuz and Translations and Malone and Blueprints and one of those 28 is actually our database expert, Stu Bishop.
Cool.
I just want to say that I think it's really cool that Mark is still writing code. One of my secret unofficial ways to evaluate the coolness of a place to work is by how high up in the management chain people are making commits into the source tree. And Mark lands branches on Launchpad regularly. I think that's pretty neat.
Talking about the team, I saw someone pop into hash Launchpad on Freenode earlier today, or pound Launchpad, as you Americans would call it. And the person asked, how do I get to work for the Launchpad team? Now, we do occasionally have vacancies crop up in the Launchpad team, don't we? We've got a couple at the moment, I think, or at least one at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. We actually have two, one that's posted, one that'll be posted soon, and perhaps a third one in the near future. The easiest way, I think, for people to know what's available is to head over to Ubuntu.com, ubuntu.com/employment. And as of today, actually, the day that we're recording our podcast, we have a brand new available jobs page. It lists all the jobs that we're currently sourcing for in Canonical, which would also include Launchpad pages. Launchpad positions.
Yeah, we used to do this thing where we advertised for other jobs that sounded really cool and then got those people to work on Launchpad instead. And now I think we're actually directly advertising for Launchpad jobs.
That sounds like a joke, but it's kind of what happened, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But more serious advice for people who want to work for Canonical or for any distributed company is to publish work. Go find a project on Launchpad and start publishing your work. The more work that you publish, you'll have a much easier time getting into a company like this.
That's right. It demonstrates your abilities, establishes your credentials, if you will, and also lets others know that you play well with groups.
Cool. Okay. Thanks very much, guys. I think I'm just about done. Have you got anything else you want to bring into it?
Nope. Nothing for me.
Joey?
I'm just waiting for the next podcast when Elliot will tell us about his Belgian waffle experience.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Thanks very much for listening to the Launch Pod episode 2. We'll be back next week with more from the Launchpad team. In the meantime, if you want to send questions in for the podcast, then send it to feedback@launchpad.net, and we'll be delighted to answer them.
Does anybody read that?
Yes, you do, and so do I, and I believe Joey does, and
definitely
a couple other people.
By the way, as a summation here, I did get some interesting feedback from the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of people said that they, despite me doing an awful job, they really liked the podcast. They're really happy that we're doing it. Some of the translation guys had talked to me and were very happy that they got some airtime.
Cool.
I guess not a lot of people recognize that translations is such an important thing in many places of the world, and also with Ubuntu and Launchpad. So it was good to hear those very positive comments and encouraging us to keep up the work.
Cool, nice one, excellent. Join you again same time next week then.
All right.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, bye.